The Missouri River is known as the Big Muddy. Sure, it's muddy at its mouth, where it joins the Mississippi River near St. Louis. But 1,000 miles upstream, the Missouri cuts a gleaming blue ribbon through Bismarck, North Dakota. It looks like paradise to Mike Peluso. And with a broad smile, he rushes his boat smack into the middle of it. Peluso grew up fishing on this river. It's a place brimming with history. Lewis and Clark camped here in 1804. As he's fishing, Peluso points to a frontier-era fort that now sits within a state park.
It's actually where Custer started off, right up there, before he went to his final. Here's a bite.
There we go.
Peluso lands a 4-pound walleye. It's the most abundant fish species in the upper Missouri system, and he wants to keep it that way.
Just going to let her go down. You know, hopefully my kids at some point in time will get to enjoy the same thing I just did.
Oh, she took off.
Perfect.
Fishing on the Missouri River is crucial to North Dakota's economy. In the 1950s, the Army Corps of Engineers dammed the Missouri River 80 miles north of Bismarck. The formation of Lake Sakakawea gave rise to a $150 million annual recreation industry. That industry largely exists because of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. The Garrison Dam National Fish Hatchery breeds 80% of the state's game fish. There's about 70 million walleye eggs in one building alone. But officials here also care for fish that are never meant to be caught. Rob Holm is with the Fish and Wildlife Service. He watches several pallid sturgeons circling an 8,000-gallon tank. Each 5-foot fish weighs about 60 pounds. The pallid has survived for 70 million years, but Holm says threats to its habitat have made it an endangered species.
If we can change things just enough to give them a fighting chance, I think it's a good thing. They've been around since the time of the dinosaurs. If we kind of miss a beat on it now, they're not going to be here in 10 years.
The pallid sturgeon was harvested for its caviar before it was federally protected, but illegal catches still happen. Environmental groups see the pallid as a barometer that gauges the overall health of the Missouri River. Chad Smith runs the Nebraska Field Office of American Rivers.
We lose the pallid sturgeon, that's an indication that we may start to see problems with the catfish and the paddlefish and the mallards and the bass, and then people are really going to start screaming.
The pallid sturgeon needs deep water to lay its eggs. In 2006, the Army Corps of Engineers released extra water from a South Dakota reservoir to mimic the flood pulse that cues the fish's reproduction. It was a highly controversial act 15 years in the making.
I'm uncomfortable with the Corps playing God.
Paul Rohde is with the National Shipping Advocacy Group Waterways Council Incorporated. He says the artificial rise meant dropped water levels later in the summer. That hurt commercial barge operators. Rohde questions the Corps' methods.
I hope there are studies going on to try to capture whatever it is that they're doing to justify having a spring rise. In past years, it was to stimulate least tern and piping plover populations. And then it was discovered that there was no science behind that. That was just guesswork.
The interior least tern and the piping plover are two birds that are also protected by the Endangered Species Act. Spokesman Paul Johnston says the Corps has evidence that its methods are working.
Near Ponca, Nebraska, we dredged out an old channel that had been closed off to create shallow water habitat for the sturgeon and created an island that it was still being groomed when the terns and plovers began nesting on it. We had to shut the bulldozer operator down.
The Corps says it understands the needs of all the different interests along the Missouri River. That's why it's agreed to pay for an independent scientific study of its habitat construction program. That study is expected to begin this fall. The Corps says it's still committed to trying to find a balance between nature and business on America's longest river. But barge operators, sportsmen, and environmentalists will try to tip that balance in their favor. For the Environment Report, I'm Kevin Lavery.